Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IYB English Radio. Well, guess who's back? This is Youth Station, and we're so happy to be here once again with you guys. This is Asma, and with me I have
Brother Muhammad in the studio.
Well, so previously on Youth Station, we had a very interesting discussion, which opened too many doors, like a labyrinth. We got stuck in the middle of it, and it was the topic of repentance. What is the responsibility of youth in 2026 regarding repentance? Shall we get to repentance easier right now, or was it easier in the past? These were the things that we talked about in previous episode, but then we came to this point that now that sinning has become the common thing, it's the trending thing, and it's so common. Is it more difficult to repent?
I think when you were talking about things becoming so explicit, shameless, and even normal, like sins becoming normal, this hadith just came to my mind about, I think it was Imam Ali who said, in the end of times, there will be a progress whereby sinning becomes normal. So the first stage would be the sin becomes very apparent, right?
And internalized.
Internalized.
Unfortunately.
Less sensitive. Like if some, like, I mean, before, if you heard of, like, for example, a person does backbiting, or a person is, you know, is taking money unlawfully, then it becomes
taboo. Or even killing people, like you see in past.
Oh my God, don't even open that topic.
Killing people was not this normal.
Yeah, I mean, this with these so many minds that could have been spent in other areas are now being spent in weaponry.
Exactly, yeah.
Making weapons.
And I mean, you see, in past, we only heard the stories of people killing children. Like, we heard those stories. We watched them in the movies of vampires, like, in the type of movies that were thriving for blood. But we never thought that this is going to be a trending thing in the world.
I believe that was what I believe Hollywood and other such big media corporations did was actually making the audience less sensitive to blood.
Yeah, very true.
Especially human blood.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Come on, if you have zombies eating brains, and these are like movies that not only adults see, even the kids see them. You see, like, for example, even the superhero movies, mass destruction and mass killing of human beings. It's as if, it's fine. I mean,
we used to think these are just
collateral
fiction.
Damage.
Yeah.
Like, there's this becoming so common, and we see that in the days leading up towards the 7th of October and after that, and we see that it becomes so common to kill people, and like, oh, they were using them as human shields, and
exactly.
Even the goats, the snipers used to, you know, kill them, the Israeli snipers used to kill goats, I mean animals, come on, and just barefaced, and then they would say, oh, they were being used as human shields. Come on, like, what kind of a reason is that? Nonetheless, this hadith, it continues to say that first it becomes like this, you become less sensitive, and then eventually what happens is that there is no longer amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar. There is no longer rejoicing good and preventing evil. Rather, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Rejoicing evil and preventing good.
Yeah.
And then even further, the step after that is whereby the good and evil shifts places.
Exactly. Right? When we were kids, we used to hear these words and then say, oh, would it be possible for such a thing to happen?
Oh my God.
Like, but right now we are living it.
I can remember my teacher telling me, I was in high school this time. I think it was my Quran teacher, I believe. He would tell me that, he would tell us the class. He would be like, okay, there would be a time, according to the riwayat, whereby a person would be committing sin in the middle of the road. The good of the people would be telling him, go to the side of the road and commit the sin.
Exactly.
Not to commit the sin anymore. Go on the side. That would be the good of the people.
And we used to be shocked. Would that be happening?
Now it's happening on a daily basis. And so I think one of the other things that really caused this, and I don't want to open this up because we're talking about repentance, but one of the things that really caused it is comedy. Laughing at things that we should be sensitive about. I mean, come on, I read this research paper not long ago that one of the first instances whereby homosexuality appeared in the West was in comedies. Let the people laugh about it. When the people laugh enough on a sin, that's when that sin can be slowly, you know, normalized. You know, can encroach into the people's life like that.
Yeah.
Likewise, for example, I see sometimes I might laugh at it myself because it's funny. Like a person giving a funny, chanting Adhan in a very funny manner. You might laugh at it, but then what are you in reality doing when you are publishing such kind of videos and media? You're actually desensitizing the audience from laughing at something that is extremely important.
You're eradicating the awareness, actually.
Exactly.
Just like what happened in the movies, that, like the industries that you mentioned, Hollywood or whatsoever. This is their strategy to make something become normalized.
Exactly. So they create so much noise, so much media such that you're so engaged in this until the fact that your fitrah itself accepts it. Okay, well, it's happening so much. I can remember even in the West, while it was my neighbors, my parents, my friends, everybody, they would be extremely sensitive to something called boyfriend and girlfriend. Having relationships outside of marriage, that would be something extremely sensitive. I mean, even until today, that a person who has relationships outside of marriage is seen extremely indecent, right? Not like as before, but it's still indecent. And the decent among those who have relationships outside of marriage are those who don't have kids outside of marriage. This is the shift of standards, which is, I think, extremely, it's alarming right now. I mean, family, which is the most fundamental union of a society, has already been targeted, annihilated, and now societies are paying the prices for this.
Yes.
Nonetheless,
so we come back to this point about repentance we were talking, and out of all these examples that we brought, still, now that the society is desensitized and now that sin has been normalized and internalized, is there any way for me, for youth, to realize that this is wrong? And I shouldn't be doing it. And perhaps if I do it, at least I have to go back for repentance.
Yeah. What I believe, see, it's a very common thing to say. Even every religion, not only Islam, every religion says that repentance, the door of repentance is open even until the death. I can remember
God would never close that door.
Yeah. There is a hadith with Noble Prophet where he explains this. He says, anyone who does, these are exact words, by the way, anyone who does tawbah a year before his death, it will be accepted by God. And then he says, a year is too long of a time. If he begs pardon only a month before his end, he will be forgiven. And then he continues to say, a month is too long of a time. He says, even if he begs pardon only a week before his departure, it will be accepted. And then he says, no, a week is still too long. If a sinner prays for pardon only a day before his death, it will be accepted. And then he goes on to say, it's still too long. Even a day is still too long.
Yeah.
Even if a man repents just before the arrival of the angel of death, his tawbah will be accepted. I mean, come on. What more concession do you want? Allah has opened up. And even further, we're talking about death. So it's a very common standpoint to say that, okay, death is like the end of your life. And whatever you do up until your death is what you're going to reap in the hereafter, right? But even after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up so many doors to kind of encroach in your file and delete those, you know, evil files in your, you know, folder, basically. Whereby if those who are from among your family or those who know you, if they ask for repentance on your behalf, like, it's very common
that
is accepted. Like, it's very common among us, and especially in the Iranian culture and even outside in the Muslim culture, when we say, like, ex-deceased person, we say, rahimahullah, like, shaheed Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah have mercy on him. Rahmatullah alayh, right? May Allah have mercy on him. It's a very common thing. Why do we say this? Even during the funeral, I can remember some of the funerals. One particular funeral, when Shaheed Khamenei was reciting for the deceased late Rafsanjani, in his funeral period, he said, "Afwak, afwak, afwak." He repeated a couple of times, "May Allah forgive you, may Allah forgive you, may Allah." I mean, he's dead. So what is it that goes to him? What's the use? So from this, we understand, no, there are ways for the repentance even after death.
Yeah. So of course, these are words of kindness and give us some hope for the future. But this is not going to wipe out the responsibility. This is not going to exclude the responsibility out of your shoulder. Yeah. We go for a break. We come back to see what's more with repentance.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. So these are the words of a famous writer, and this is Bacteria, and these are the words of a famous writer, and this is Youth Station. This is Asma, and I have a brother, Muhammad, with me. And we're talking about repentance. So far, we got to the fact that, yes, there are desensitization in the society. There are internalization of the sins in the society. And there are also people who are getting used to everything. But is repentance forgotten entirely? Shall I just close that door forever? How can I bring myself to that awareness is a main question, I guess, because from the God side is all kindness. The door is all open for you. Whenever you get there, you're welcome. God is going to welcome you with open arms. But what about me? As I want to start this journey, first of all, I have to get to the awareness, because there are many people I actually have seen, and at a certain time in our lives, maybe us ourselves would get used to this method that I know that something is wrong, but I cannot change it. So in those conditions, how can I bring myself back to the awareness that right now this is the time for a full stop?
Let's focus on the 2026, the year 2026, where we have digital sinning, and I can also coin the word digital tawbah. Right? If we have digital sinning, why not digital tawbah? And I think one of the best ways, and this is proven, right? I saw a lot of things, like, for example, when it comes to sins with regards to your private parts and stuff, they have suggested, I've seen a lot of online forums, even the Christian community, they suggest things like public shaming, right? You know, when you do such a sin, announce it in your social media, you will feel that shame coming into you and you will stop doing that. I feel that that's not something that Islam promotes.
Exactly.
Because, you know, promoting a sin, even whether if it is like, you know, trying to show that you're...
And there's a saying that you shouldn't tell others about your
exactly.
sins.
Exactly. So even when you're regretful, you shouldn't be bringing it out to the people, unless if it's like, you know, consultation with someone who is trustworthy. So the first step in trying to do tawbah, which is a proven thing among the Islamic scholars, is actually understanding the nature of the sin itself. Right, it's a very famous story whereby a man comes to Imam Salah and says, "Why? How are you infallible? I mean, how is it that you don't commit not even a single sin at all?"
Yeah.
Imam Salah says, "Why don't you eat feces?" I'm sorry to say this, but this is what the hadith says. Why don't you eat feces? He was extremely disgusted by this. So the same way you understood the nature of feces and how bad it is, we see sin and the nature of sin.
Like so eating the flesh of your brother. If you see biting, that, you would never do that.
Yes, exactly. Backbiting. It's extremely disgusting eating the flesh of your brother who is alive, of your dead brother. I mean, this is extremely disgusting, right? Further than that, for example, always whenever you see a sin, don't just look at it, okay, sin, let me not do it. Understand what made it a sin in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely important. And we as youth forget this in many cases. A single simple search will really bring this up for us. For example, when it comes to looking at non-mahram, it's a very common thing. Now in the social media era, it becomes so normal to see I can remember I was sitting next to a brother in a bus, and he was looking at, you know, his Instagram reels, and you know, what's in the Instagram reel? I don't want to open that up. So I was like, why are you're so becoming corrupted and perverted with this? So he was like, no, these are all kuffar. These are all disbelievers. I was like, where in Islam says that you're allowed to look at disbelievers in a manner that you're looking at it right now, right? It's extremely disgusting and indecent to do so. And I told him, would you like, for example, this is how Imam Ali himself taught others not to look at non-mahram. Would you like someone to look at your sister or your mother or your wife in the way that you're looking at that person? No, he really, of course, that person needs to understand the meaning of sister and mother.
Exactly.
Some people have
First of all, they need to be aware of that.
Exactly. So a person who doesn't have ghira, a person who doesn't have that dignity and honor in him in the first place, of course, it's really hard to deal with such a person.
It sounds nonsensical, what you're telling him.
Exactly. So when this person, he was really shocked when I told him, yeah, you're right. You know, when you give, this, we understand the nature of the sin, right? Would you like that same thing happen on you? You, for example, my brother who is dealing in business, would you like someone cheating on you with, you know, in terms of business? So why are you cheating on
others? So first of all, in order to bring about that awareness, in order to make myself sensitive, I need to know about the nature of the sins.
Exactly. How bad it is. How evil
bad
it is. Yeah.
And then I started the journey of repentance.
Exactly.
And little by little. And I guess you have to do it step by step.
Yeah, of course. It's they're the same way that Shaitan carries you step by step into the sin.
Exactly.
You also have to come out step by step.
And the process of coming back is not easy. It takes time. It needs tolerance. It needs this bond with God. You have to be totally engaged
in the first
with the
stages. Yes, it's easy. But if you're used to, then it becomes difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very common thing. Because when it becomes a habit, anything, it doesn't matter, sin, even cigarettes. I mean, come on, those who are addicted to cigarettes, it's really difficult for them
very
to come
difficult.
Out. But those who are doing it the first time, like even they hate it, but they do it in the first stages, they can easily come out of that. But those who are like addicted to it, it's so difficult.
When it's died deep inside of us, it becomes so difficult. And then I guess the only painkiller is going to be your remembrance of God, who's going to help you pull through. And by the way, again, we're reaching that point in which we have to put an end to today's episode. Thank you very much, brother. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. If I want to say the last point, it would be like this, that growth is one of the most sacred parts of human beings. So never let it go. Never let go of your goodness and of your growth, and never tell yourself that it's too late for me to get back. There's no repentance for me. God, he himself, in his words in the Holy Book of Quran, tells you that those who have done, who have oppressed themselves, who have imposed difficulties on themselves, they have all the freedom to come back to me, because my doors are always open. The doors of repentance are always open. So never believe that it's too late, and God would be always there welcoming you with open arms and open heart. Take care of yourself, and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.